proceed to the fifth case, G.G. versus Grindle. Ms. Graben?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Robert Graveman. I represent the appellant in this matter, Karen Grindle. This matter comes before the Court today following a trial involving nine former band students at the South Berwyn School District 100. The case involved allegations that the band teacher at the school inappropriately touched several of his female students during band lessons. Following a five-week trial, the jury found in favor of all nine plaintiffs and awarded damages in various amounts. This appeal,
I take it he's in prison now for this, right?
He is, Your Honor. He received, I believe, on a guilty plea, 20 years, and he still resides. He did testify at trial. He came in
he
for that.
He did testify.
For one day, yes. As I was saying, the appeal involves one of the nine students in that trial, a young lady by the name of G.G. I'm using her initials still. And specifically, the district court's decision here denying Karen Grindle's post-trial motion for remitter. Your Honors, it's the appellant's position that the damages awarded to G.G. in this case were excessive and that they bear no rational connection to the evidence adduced at trial. The evidence at trial showed that Robert Spurlich, the band teacher, repeatedly duct-taped, touched the private areas of students, locked one of them in a band equipment closet, and that this behavior went on for some time within the school district.
But what your brief doesn't really go into very much, and so I'm finding it very hard to review, is the role of Principal Grindle in all of this. Obviously, the jury found that she was responsible under the appropriate standard, which is a pretty high standard.
Yes.
And so it seems to me, in terms of any district judge's decision about whether a damages award is excessive and should be subject to remitter, the judge would be taking into account the evidence against the defendant in question.
I think there's a distinction to be made there. Karen Grindle,
you don't agree with that? That the judge wouldn't, in looking, say, for a $250,000 compensatory damage award, also want to see, you know, what exactly the principal was convicted for?
I think that
found liable.
Yeah, it was a Section 1983 case, so
right,
it's a deliberate and different standard is what
right.
It was. I think that's a very important issue at trial on liability. What she knew, when she knew it, and what she did in response goes to the issue of deliberate indifference. It does not go to the issue, I don't think, of damages, injury to this girl. That is dependent on and related to what Mr. Spurlich did or did not do to her and the resulting consequences to her of his actions.
Right, but there I think you run into something, you know, like in law school they used to call the eggshell plaintiff, you know, idea. If this girl was particularly affected by the actions that Mr. Spurlich took, even if they don't sound as lurid as some of the other things he did, her damage is her damage. There's a lot of testimony in the record about
I agree. I recall the eggshell damage from torts first year in law school many years ago that it may have been. But there was testimony. I'm sure Mr. Fennerty will speak to this at some length from her treater, a lady by the name of Kelly Underwood. But Gigi herself does not make the connection between what Mr. Spurlich did to her and some of these very significant issues in her life, such as drug use, early sexuality, problems with peers, weight issues, self-esteem, depression.
Why isn't that just weight, though? I mean, the jury might take into account that a child might not actually be the best deconstructor of what caused certain behaviors. And that's why people go to psychiatrists for years.
I agree, but I think we have to rely on what she says in terms of the impact that this had on her at the time.
And what she says as well as what all these other people said. Didn't the jury just weigh it?
Oh, I think the jury did. I think a lot of what happened here is that there were nine plaintiffs. There were some very, some graphic testimony as to some of them, very clear connection between their injury and damages. I don't think we had that with regard to Gigi. It was far, far different, and I think she benefited damage-wise tremendously by the fact that she was one of nine plaintiffs rather than just one plaintiff. But the jury, in awarding damages, has to separate each out and cannot collectively punish the school district.
Well, but this award is at the low end, is it not, Mr. Graveman, of the damages that were assessed?
There were two others that were I'm sorry. Right. There was one of the students, MK, received less in compensatory damages. She did not have any testimony. She differed from the other girls in that her testimony was not of any sexual sort of abuse. Rather, as a disciplinary measure, Mr. Spurlock pinned her arms down at her sides, I think, or behind her back. So I put her situation as different than the other young ladies in that regard. But yes, it was the $250,000 awarded to Gigi is at the lower end. But again, the other girls, the abuse that they suffered was far different, in my contention. I'm probably close to time, so I'll reserve what I have left for rebuttal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Finnerty.
Please the court, James Finnerty for Gigi. I just want to respond to some of the things that counsel mentioned. One of the things in his brief, he said this was an innocent touching on a couple of occasions. You know, this is a 10-year-old girl who's only 10 years old. When some band teacher says, I'm adjusting your posture, and puts his arm and rubs her shoulders and puts his arm and then touches her breast, to a 10-year-old girl, that's not insignificant. And then on another occasion, he says it's just minor, he's tapping the beat. Well, that's what he did for all these girls at first. Tap their beat, and then he would move his hand up on the thighs. And that's what happened here. And that's not minor for a 10-year-old girl. The other thing, though, too, I think the court is right in asking the question. She is in the lower end, and the jury heard everybody. They heard from Kelly Underwood. This was her therapist for like 3 years. And this young lady at 10 years old, it was 10 years old when it happened, and it was 10 years old when it came out in the press that the person she thought was her friend, the band teacher, was arrested for this. And what's happening here is that I think the jury was right on point in terms of listening to every individual girl. Like I said, those two girls who were low in terms of damages never went to a therapist. As Kelly Underwood testified herself, and three other health professionals, one, well, really three, psychiatrists, after the Spurlock incident, diagnosed her with post-traumatic stress syndrome as a result of the conduct with Spurlock. Now, we admitted that she had other things going on in her life, like he talks about the weight and self-esteem. But she was diagnosed from the incident with Spurlock with post-traumatic stress syndrome. As Kelly Underwood said,
the cost of the therapist and
pardon?
Was the cost of the therapist and other professionals part of the evidence for
it? It was not. It was not. But as Kelly Underwood said, it's not about the actual conduct, because so much of sexual abuse is about the psychological and emotional damage that is done. This girl was damaged. She was damaged. And like I said, you know, he cites the CE. In his brief, she got more money. She was the one was damaged more, and she got more money. She got $750,000. We're only talking here. This is not monstrously excessive. This is $250,000 for this girl who for years was in therapy because of this incident. And I think that, if you read Judge Shibler's comments, On the motion to remitter, is very on point. The jury heard all the witnesses and the testimony, and he thought they were the one who should determine and determine fairly what the damages were. And I believe that this court should uphold the finding by the jury and not grant counsel's motion for remitter.
Thank you. Mr. Fennerty. Mr. Graveman.
Thank you. Just two quick points in response to Mr. Fennerty. I'm not challenging that this girl was damaged. I'm not challenging the jury's liability finding. I'm simply challenging the excessive nature of the damages that were awarded to this one plaintiff based on the uncontradicted evidence at trial that, unlike all these other girls, there were two incidents, and two incidents only, involving her. One, where Mr. Sperlich put his hands on her shoulders and rubbed her shoulders briefly. His hand came down, based on what she said, and touched the top of her breast. And he immediately removed it when she flinched. And so that lasted a second or so. On another occasion, he tapped the bead out on her leg. She acknowledged that's what she understood that he was doing. That his hand moved up her leg, stayed there for about a second. Again, she flinched. Again, and that's all that happened to her. And again, she did not draw the connection between what he did to her and damage, and didn't even come forward until after this had all exploded in the press, and her mother brought her in. Initially, she denied that he had done anything to her. And I think this got kind of caught up in the frenzy of it, and that's why I don't think, again, she doesn't. I'm not arguing she deserves nothing, but this is just more than I think it's rational.
What of the evidence that the post-traumatic stress syndrome was triggered? I understand the two-incident approach you take, but if it in effect escalated into this condition, is it so much different than the other low-end award, I guess, on the issue of whether it's monstrously excessive, which is what we have to look at?
We had competing evidence about the PTSD, and our expert says that this diagnosis is being slapped on everybody, and I think in this situation that probably... I would agree with that. Yes, I mean, we had evidence, and I understand I have a high hurdle here, and that the jury, this is the jury's province. But given the overall circumstances in this case, the number of plaintiffs, what went on with the others, I think that we have a situation where the jury got wrapped up with regard to this one plaintiff where things were so much different. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. The case is taken under advisement.